We're continuing our series on Love Not the World. Love Not the World. Let's turn to our foundation text, 1 John chapter 2, beginning with the 15th verse. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Glory be to God. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with the 15th verse. Do not love the world. Or, let's read that together. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. They abide how long? Forever. Glory be to God. Amen. And like we've been on this since the 40s, this series, but let me get myself together here. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. So we have gone over the things that are in the world and so forth. Another one? I'm sorry. Thank you, David. Okay. Thank you, sir. We went over, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, or the pride in possessions. Amen. Somebody's listening. The eyes, flesh, and now the pride in possessions. Now, I want to go back over the word pride of life, the word pride, right quick, or not necessarily right quick, but go back over that in Jesus' name. Let's see this. All right. So the pride of life is pride in life's possessions. Pride in the things that one possesses necessary to sustain life. House, car, food, money, job, and so forth. The Greek word for pride is alazonia. Alazonia, vainglory, and the scholar Vincent says it means originally empty, braggart talk or display, swagger, an insolent and vain assurance in one's own resources. And here's what I want to really lock in on: one's resources, or in the stability of earthly things, which issues in a contempt of divine laws. So you are so swagged out, which is really a sin, concerning what you have. You're such a braggart. You're such a prideful person who possesses these things, that you have contempt for divine laws, the word of God, the things that are godly. The word insolent, as you can see in brackets, showing a rude and arrogant lack of respect. And insolent and vain is empty, worthless, pointless, useless assurance. Your assurance in your earthly things is empty, worthless. It is rude and arrogant and lack of respect concerning divine laws. That's the point I want to really, so I went back over this. The vainglory of life is the vainglory which belongs to the present life. And then the Greek philosopher, theologian defines an insolent, which is found as empty, worthless, and so forth. Assurance, which trusts in its own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and even human rights. That's why you see those who are possessing great status and wealth can be very rude and arrogant, even of human life. No regard. You don't count. You don't matter. And God, we don't need him. I got all the money I need. I can use money to make basically anything happen. I want you to understand that this phrasing, pride of life, is not a small thing. It ultimately leads to a disrespect and a disregard for God's laws and even human beings, human rights. You can see why he says love not the world, because that's the third thing that's in the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, rather, lust of the eyes, and pride, shameful pride in what you own, to the point that you completely disregard God and those made in the image of God. Does that make sense? Amen. I'll give you a moment to finish that up. Shamefully. And you can see why that is a sin and why he says, do not love the world. Have no parts of that. Because it is complete and utter disregard for who I am and for those who bear my image. Whenever you have a shameful disregard for human rights as well, you are completely disregarding not only God, but those who bear God's image. We need to really redefine human beings, what it means to be human. It means to be an image bearer. Sometimes we don't think like that. We just look at that person's external, their ethnicity, their lack maybe of this or that, maybe not the smartest. We tend to like judge them or grade them or treat them based on just that external presentation, rather than the internal, which is that is an image of God bearer and is to be respected as such. Amen. Amen. So we talked about Adam and Eve, who desired wisdom, and she completely and shamefully disregarded God's law, complete contempt of the divine laws, because she plowed right on through his revealed will to her, and she went after that knowledge. The devil tried to get Jesus to take pride in his possession when he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. He told Jesus, if you just worship me, all of this will be yours. You own it all. But it was Jesus who said, what does it profit a person if they gain the entire world and lose their own soul? And so he told him from Deuteronomy, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We talked about King Ahasuerus, who for 6 months showed off what he owned and possessed to the officials and servants in the army of Persia and Media, and the nobles and the governors. 6 months, 180 days, he showed his pomp and splendor and greatness. We talked about King Nebuchadnezzar. When he looked at Babylon, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Right? You really said that out loud? The Lord told him, while the word of God says in Daniel 4, verse 31, while the words were still in the king's mouth, the God Almighty spoke from heaven and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken : the kingdom has departed from you. Nobody's greater than God. When you come and have contempt for divine laws, it doesn't mean that God's power is diminished just because you have contempt for God. While the words were in his mouth, while he was in the midst of praising himself, God said, the kingdom's already departed. Past tense, not his departing, not his going to depart. Just that quick, it was already gone. That's a mighty God. Some of us, we can't own hardly nothing. We own $2 and we looking down on everybody. Get a nice pair of gym shoes and we just sidestepping. I mean, just think, you and don't let alone a brand new car, not even used. Let it go to a brand, you get a brand new, I don't know, just a little something something. And we just gone. That's why I think it was David who prayed, you know, don't let me be too prosperous so that I just walk away from you. Or too little that I resort to stealing. Give me just enough. Contempt for divine laws. We talked about the rich landowner, the parable of the rich landowner who said, I'm going to build bigger barns. Me and my wife were talking about this. He didn't say, you know, I got so much, let me give some away. Like, nope, I'm going to keep all of this and build bigger storage areas to keep it. So I'm going to tear down my smaller storage areas, Brother Clyde, and build bigger ones so I can just hoard all that I have. I ain't giving nothing away. And what happened to him? Then Lord would say, first of all, he's going to give his praise. Just like King King Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to say, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And I guess God did let him finish his sentence. And then he says to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Then Jesus finishes the parable. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself. That was the problem. He laid up treasure for himself. Doesn't that sound like King Ahasuerus, King Nebuchadnezzar? He laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. They're rich, but not toward God. It's all about them. So much so that they become rude and arrogant. You've seen those people. Black and white. Black folk look at you. Remember I had on a pair of shoes. I think my shoes were untied. I don't know. Just out. And we were in Macy's. And the black dude, you know, he kind of looked at me. You know, looked me up and down and looked away. I mean, he had on some nice shoes. He was, you know, you could tell he dressed. He was, you know, and he was that guy. But he knew he was that guy. And he knew I was not that guy. He had shameful, he shamefully despised my human rights. I mean, he made it obvious. He looked at me. Thou fool, watch out. Because you have to remember, it's the Lord thy God that gave you the power to get that wealth. But you know, we can get so twisted that in Deuteronomy, he said you can become so prosperous that you'll say, look at what my hand and my power has gotten me. And so you must remember the covenant. It is not you. It is the Lord your God who has empowered you to get wealth. God has nothing against wealth. What he has is what he is against and got a problem with is our attitude toward the wealth that we have or the things that we have. You don't have to have a lot to to commit the sin of the pride of possessions. You can just have you one pair of shoes that you just really like. And you think you're just better than everyone else who don't have your shoes. You may say, oh man, that's a little extreme. No, you'll be surprised. And maybe you won't be. And we're warned about that at all times. You heard about the rich young ruler, Luke 18, the rich young ruler. Oh, I want to be saved. Well, keep the commandments. I've done that since I was a kid. One thing you lack, give away. I mean, sell. You tell them to give it away. Sell everything you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. The word of God says, when he heard these things, he became very sad. Greek, extremely depressed. Wasn't Prozac and Xanax back then. He couldn't take that. He just had to deal with the depression. Why was he so bad, sad and very depressed? Because he was extremely rich. Luke 18. Mark 10, giving the same account of the same situation. He was disheartened and in any way sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was very rich. He had great possessions. And if you study it a little bit further, he owned a lot of land. He was so locked up into his possessions that he walked away from eternal life. And Jesus says, seeing that he had become sad, how difficult it is for who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Because there's so much trust in your money. Because I can just do whatever I wanted to. So we're not to boast. What are we to boast? If we're not to boast in what life possessions, I'm still reviewing, what are we to boast in? Good question. Glad you asked. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. We read this, still reviewing. Still doesn't hurt to go over it again. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. If we are not to boast in those things, what are we to boast in? What are we to glory in? Verse 23. Are we there yet? Okay, let me know. Catty Waddy. Thank you. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Oh, who that sound like? Eve. She's about to get wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Samson. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Oh, that's the rich young ruler, King Ahasuerus, King Nebuchadnezzar, the rich young, the other parable of the landowner, all of them. So don't boast in your wisdom. Don't boast in your might. Don't boast in your wisdom. But let him who boasts, boast in this. He didn't say don't boast at all. Did you catch that? If you are going to boast, let it not be in the stuff and the things that you possess and the status that you possess. Let it be in this, that he understands and know me. Now, that's something to boast in. Amen. See, you know what I'm saying, Miss Cheryl? Because there are billions, literally billions walking in, there's close to 8 billion on earth. There are billions walking the earth who do not know God. And yet, those who are born again have the absolute privilege and honor to know God and to know him progressively more and more. That's what you boast in. That's why all this celebrity thing and, oh, you met him and you, oh, you saw him and, yeah, I saw her toes. You know, I didn't see her, but it was, you know, just pieces of a celebrity. We go crazy. But we know the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, we need to think about that. Not I saw this person or that person. I hang with God. Amen. The one who created this person and that person. Who gave this person and that person skill. Gave them a voice. And the ability to move and groove. And they're not even using it for his glory. And you're glad to know that person. And not even think about how well you know the creator of that person. He's saying it here. Don't boast in worldly things. Don't boast in earthly things. Don't boast in natural physical things. Boast that you know me. That we know God. And what is it that we know about him? That he is the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What does he delight in? Justice, love, and righteousness. Don't worry, I'm telling you, forgive. Don't worry about injustice down here. You worry if there's injustice and, God done fell off the throne. Now we're in trouble. Now that justice may never get rectified. But he is the judge of all the earth. He's going to correct every wrong. You best believe that. I've told you this time and time again. I need to keep reminding you. Nothing is going to get by him. Every sin will be accounted for. Every sin is going to be paid for. Question is, are you going to pay for it? Or if you're born again, in this case, Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. Watch yourself, Miss Phyllis. Oh, but his blood has made it white as snow. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. So in our case, Jesus paid for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. In the sinner's case, they're going to pay for their sin. There is no sin that's going to go unpunished. We need to keep remembering who God is. He's our Father. We know him. He knows us. Remember he told them who did all of these works supposedly for Jesus? Didn't we do all these many wonderful works in your name? And he told them, get up out of my face. King James was nice about it. Depart from me. Nope. Move on, brother. Get out of my way. I never knew you. In the Greek, not for one moment in time have I ever known you. What does that mean? You were sinning. You're just a sinner doing stuff. Because I know the word of God says the Lord knoweth those who are his. So if he says I never knew you, then you're not his. That means you're not saved. Can you follow that? That's strong language. Sometimes I butcher it a little bit, but I think mom used to say, only what you do for Christ is count. Papa, keep messing. Will last. That's true. The old saints used to say that. Only what you do for Christ will last. And I'm going to add to that, meaning for Christ in this case means that the Holy Spirit has inspired you to do it. Because they did their stuff for Christ. At least they thought. They thought they did. Oh, but the word of God says, except the Lord build a house, they that build it labor in vain. It is empty, useless, and worthless, and pointless. All your actions, if they're not motivated by God, if it's not in the will of, that's what I'm trying to say, if it's not in the will of God, it is vain, empty, worthless, pointless, and useless. Because he didn't tell you to do it, then it's not for his glory. We want to live. We have breath in our bodies for his glory. We're giving breath in our bodies to give him glory out of the fruit of our lips. We do other things with our breath. But the number one thing that we've been given breath is to praise him. Amen. Even breath is the grace of God. Amen. For in him we live and move and have our very being. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For all that is in the world, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. The pride of life. By the way, the word life is bios. Bios, rather. I'm sorry. B-I-O-S. Get our word bio from. And it refers to that which sustains life, namely food, clothing, and shelter. We went over that earlier, too. Life, that which sustains life. The word life, again, that which one possesses necessary to sustain life, food, clothing, and shelter. The end of verse 16 says, is not from the Father. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life and possessions, those three things are not from the Father. Meaning it's not sourced from the Father. It's not out from the Father. Does it come from God? You follow that? Instead, the end of verse 16 says, it's not from the Father. There's a contrast and conjunction, but is from the world, meaning its roots are sourced in this world system. Uh-oh, who's the God of this world system? So that means the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride and possessions is rooted in Satan and this world system. So I don't think we look at it like that. Why do we need to look at it that way? Because you don't want no parts of that. I don't want any parts of that. For all that is in the world, all that is in this world, the world's order, the world's system, and according to the God of this world, is those three things. And they come from the world and not from the Father. Verse 17, let's keep reading. And the world is passing away. Let's stop right there. And the world is passing away. That's passive. The Greek is, and the world is being caused to pass away. Is being caused to disappear. That's what the word pass away means, to disappear. It's being caused to fade away, to disappear, to pass away. And who is doing this? God is. God is causing the world to come to an end. It is deteriorating, even as we speak, because of sin. Does that make sense? And the passing away of the world can be both physically and systematically. Both physically and systematically. So I want to go over both parts of it. Yes, the physical world is passing away. But also the systems of this world is also passing away. Does that make sense? To one person, it makes sense. All right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got three more people. All right. Let's talk about physical. It passing away, physically speaking. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So it's being made to pass away physically. All right, and then I put systematically, and system is what I'm focusing on. The systems are passing away. My English teacher, did I spell this right? Systematically. Okay. All right. Verse 31. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it For the present form or the outward form of this world is passing away. You see that? The present or outward form of this world order, the world system is passing away, fading away. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I think it's called the law of entropy, but I'm not sure where things
entropy,
are.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Entropy.
That's
right.
Yeah. Where this swearing out, coming less. What's the definition? What is a decent definition of that?
Everything goes from order to disorder.
That's what we're seeing. Because of sin. I try to tell you and let you know, sin was so horrible that it even pervert not the word. It I'm not even thinking of the word. But it got into the ground. I'm just like, you know, to deteriorate or the destruction of
erode.
No, not that one either. But that's cool too. But it just pervaded. It spread into everything. It corrupted,
permeated.
Yeah, but it perverted or destroyed or made less than corrupted. Maybe that's a better word. That's what I'm trying to say. It corrupted. It permeated everything and caused it to be corrupted. That's the point I'm making. Even the ground, the dirt, is for corrupted. Because before sin, you still had to, there still was a garden, right? He still was supposed to plant the crops, but it just would have grown. You plant, it could have been in tomorrow, because there was nothing to stop it. But now when sin came, what he tell Adam? By the sweat of your face, you're going to bring forth. It's going to bring forth thistles and thorns. That's all sin. The air is polluted and corrupted. The weather has gone south. All these things, nothing would have killed. I wonder if there would have ever been winter. Because winter stuff died. Nothing would have died. There was no decay. Your teeth would have lasted forever. No decay. We don't think about how much sin has permeated everything. I wonder what our memories would be. We're operating on this, and sin has knocked out a whole lot of our brain cells. What would we do if we weren't? You saw what Adam did, named every species of animal. With no dictionary, no internet. That's brilliant. Probably the greatest person ever living. It's the smartest probably ever living. Because he was, for the moment when he was pre-sin, not counting the humanity of Jesus. When he was pre-sin, pre-fall, brilliant. Unbelievable. Just think for a moment. Sin knocked out a lot of things. All right. We're in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. The world is passing away and will come to a complete end. So he's telling us these things that are in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride and possessions, he said, oh, that's coming to an end. That's physically. Let's look at systematically. Look at systematically. The things coming to an end systematically. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, you know what? Hold on a minute. Before we go there, hold on one moment. Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and about verse 20. Mm-hmm. Verse 22. Hold on 1 second. For we know that the whole creation, just talking about the earth, has been groaning. So he's personified creation as if it were a person. Has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So just as we're getting old and groaning and coming apart, so is the earth. It's something that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, personifies earth and gives it anthropomorphic, like human qualities. It's groaning. So if it were a person, we would hear it because sin has wiped it out, the dirt, the molecules, the air, even the air. Would you think, oh, that, no big deal there. Even the air is corrupted. When we invent things because of sin, it's good on one end, but there's always some negative on the other part. You know, like your medicine may help these symptoms, but give you 900 other problems. That just, you know, if you look at chemo, it helps supposed to knock out the cells, but knocks out all the other stuff. And you may develop sickness from in some other way. That's just how this world is. I can't wait to get up out of here and be with the Lord. Because Apostle Paul said, it is far better that I depart. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You gain when you go there. Amen. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. So we're talking about the system. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. We've talked about physical. Now we're going to talk about system. And when we talk about system, we're talking about the world's way of thinking, K-I-N-G, speaking and doing. Thinking, speaking, and doing. I know those are doctors' signatures there, but thinking, speaking, and doing. Okay? Look at 2 Thessalonians. So when we talk about system, we talk about the world, rather. We're talking about the world order and the world system. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 1, 6. Since indeed God considers it just to repay. Am I going too fast? Oh, you good, Miss Cheryl? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Yeah. Yep. I do get a little happy and it slow me down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, Revelation 19, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, because they are part of that world system, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When we talk about that this world system is going to be completely destroyed, it is going to be completely. It looks now that everybody's getting away with everything. Whether it be LGBTQ and the transgender folk that went crazy. And I mean, it's amazing that you are not letting two females participate in a female sport because they got too much something, testosterone, something. And you let a male participate in that female sport because they don't have what the female. you know what? The Temptations was about 50 years too early, but their song in 1970 was Ball of Confusion. That's exactly what this is. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. God is not. This system is going to pass. Let's keep reading. Look at Jude. There's only one chapter. So verse 14, Jude verse 14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, I'm a generation speaking, prophesied saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. My Lord. Ungodly, 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 ungodly. You think he's trying to bring a point home here? He's going to execute. Is not the world's way of thinking. And then for the sake of having a teacher here, we're going to try to write a little clearer. Let's see, mark my paper down. In doing, thank you. Is that better, teacher?
It's better.
Thank you, thank you. You see that the world's way of thinking, speaking, and doing, remember, Satan is the God, small case G-O-D, God of this world. So the way folks are thinking, speaking, and doing are being influenced by him. We've gone over this. Told you about the theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory. They're taking these theories, some made up things, and teaching them in universities. Is that not ungodly? He's going to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds, that's the doing, from the thinking, deeds of unrighteousness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and all of the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. There's a speaking. And of course, all of that comes from the doing. All that is passing away. Look at Revelation 18. Revelation 18. And then Revelation 19. And we'll stop right there. Maybe. Revelation 18, 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. Now, I want to show you something or just make a note here. Babylon is symbolic of the world's system. Okay? It's symbolic of that. Or the world's, W-R-L-D, is getting raggedy, Catherine. Or the world's order. The world's way. You follow me? So Babylon is symbolic of the world's system, or the world's way, or the world's order. Remember, Satan is a god of this world. That's Babylon. Okay, now, so listen to it at that, in that vein. Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. That means that the world system and the world's order are going to be destroyed. You follow me? And the sound of the harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard no more. Hold on. When you drive your cars down the street and you go come to a stop sign, usually what you hear coming out the car next to you?
Music.
You walk into the stores, what do you hear? Music. Even a gas station, even you pick up the pump to pump your gas, they playing music. Music is everywhere. It's something that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, while he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos at 90-something years old, takes the time to say that music is going to be all gone. That's something. Because there's a lot of music that is not godly. As a matter of fact, when you pull up in your cars and you pull up this and the gas and in the stores, you're not hearing Christian music. You're not hearing music that praises God. And God is saying, I'm going to put a stop to all. I mean, it doesn't say we're going to stop the music. It goes to and name the harpists, musicians, flute players, and trumpeters. All music of all forms will be heard in you no more. And this, so music, which does influence culture, you know that, right? You know music influences culture in a mighty way. If you don't know that, we can do a teaching on that. Music influences culture in a mighty way. He says here, will be found in you no more. And the sound of the meal, no more. And the craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. Music's coming to an end. Crafts is coming to an end. Somebody mentions craft. And the sound of the meal will be heard in you no more. No more building. All that is going to be stopped. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. Turning out the lights. The party's over. Literally speaking, the party is over. And the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard no more. No more marriage. You don't want marriage? I'm taking it away. There will be no more marriage. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. See how the world's system, the world's order, with the God of the world being the ruler of it, it deceived everyone. Next chapter, verse 19. Chapter 19, rather. Verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come gather for the great supper of God. Wow, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, their riders, the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. Who is that? Christ Jesus with us. Because we just came earlier in chapter 19, about verse 11. Here we come. And he's chilling on the horse. They gonna surround him to make war against him. Verse 20. And the beast was captured, and with it, the false prophet. By the way, that's 2/3 of the unholy trinity. It's the beast, B-E-A-S-T. That's getting shaky, Kathy. Catherine. The false prophet. And, yeah, it was. And Satan. That's the unholy trinity. Here's 2/3. That's why I stopped there. Verse 20. The beast was captured. Remember, this machinery of Babylon is driven by Satan, and now he got his cohorts, the beast and the false prophet. So now you see the beast being captured, with it the false prophet, who in the presence had done the sign by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. He did great miracle signs. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the throne, Lord Jesus Christ, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Quite violent, quite gruesome. I'm bringing to this, and then Revelation 20, the next chapter, beginning in verse 7, to show you this is the world that is passing away both physically and systematically. This is a complete and utter destruction of the systems of the world, because you're taking away the leaders. The beast is gone, the false prophet is gone, and now here's the third one, verse 7 of Revelation 20, and we'll stop here. Thanks for your patience. When 1,000 years were ended, Satan will be released from prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their numbers like the sand of the sea. That's a bunch of folks. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven, consumed them. Why, just like that. They all did all this planning, come around there, hundreds of billions of millions of people probably, and fire is gone, just like that. It consumed them. Verse 10, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, and the beast, where the beast and the false prophet were, there's a trinity, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. If I do my hands like this, the system is over. It's coming to an end. And when it, and notice it says, along with this, desires. That means you, there's nothing to desire anymore because it's all destroyed. Do you understand that? So when the world comes to an end, the desires for the things of the world will also come to an end. So he's saying, why are you putting your desire, wasting your energies, using your desires that ought to be used on me? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. Don't use that toward the world. And why would you? Because all of that is going to be completely destroyed, along with the desires for those things. And we'll pick up, we'll end up, we'll finish next week by the last part of that. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's coming to an end. For those who do the will of God, we hang in forever. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news. Amen. Father God, we thank you that this world is passing away. I do thank you because it's sin sick. It's sin corrupted through and through. Thank you for a new heaven and a new earth coming. And we will forever be with you, Father, spending our time worshiping and praising you along with the 24 elders. Wow. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And we thank you for it in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.